Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Getaway Friday, December 24th, 2021. It is Christmas Eve, 19 minutes past the hour. Now, we have been teasing all morning that we have a mystery guest. This may be the best mystery guest we have ever had in the history of mystery guests. And truthfully, nobody knows that this is happening except me and the person on the other line. Let me give you a little background here, and the person on the line will hold for just a second. I know they're going to hang with me here. Back on November 16th, and we did not plan it this way, we started something here at the station called the Geraldo Journal. It was our quest to get Geraldo Rivera as a guest on this program. We've had Phil Donahue, we've had Larry King, we've had Bob Barker and Jerry Springer and Sally Jesse Raphael, Dick Cavett, great, great guest Betty White on this program, but we've never had Geraldo Rivera, and we found out that Geraldo was doing a show, a radio show on WTAM radio, great station out of Cleveland, Ohio, still on Fox News, people see him all the time. So we started this trek back in September 16th, to have Geraldo on the show. As it turns out, today is day 100 of the Geraldo Journal. We have went through the complete journal trying to get Geraldo on this show. And here we are on Christmas Eve. What a Christmas gift I have for you and a Christmas gift for me. He is one of the best investigative journalists there ever was. He's one of the best talk show hosts there ever has been. What he did for the mentally disabled with Willow Brook was unprecedented, and he's still on Fox News fighting for what he believes in. No matter what you feel about this gentleman, he fights for what he believes in. It is an honor, pride, and privilege. Whoever thought I would say this to put an end to the Geraldo Journal after 100 days, our guest this hour, believe it or not, Geraldo Rivera. Geraldo, how are you?
Scott, my friend, I've been looking for you for 100 days.
Geraldo, I thought honestly by this point you were going to say, I'm never going on that guy's program.
Well, there was a bit of a stalker aspect to it, but my wife and brother Craig both reported that you had reached out even via Facebook. So I thought ultimately, and Erica, my wife, is my conscience. She said, come on, the guy's very enterprising, let's do this interview. So here we are, Scott, on Christmas Eve.
You know, and I do want to thank Erica right off the top here, because she is really the one who made this happen. So I hope you and your family are having a wonderful Christmas Eve.
We are indeed. We're in Key West, soon to return to Cleveland, worried about the COVID, Omicron, and all the rest of that, just like everybody else in Ohio. But we'll be careful, and so far so good.
Geraldo, a lot of people have asked me, how did you end up in Cleveland?
Well, Erica, as you probably know, Scott, is from Shaker Heights in Cleveland. She went to public school there. Her mom is still there. Erica and her mom are very close, and that's why when we decided almost 5 years ago that we wanted to live outside of New York for a while, it was kind of maybe unusual for many people, but it seemed natural for us, Scott.
Now, what's it like to come to Cleveland after years of living in New York in very metropolitan areas?
Well, you know, Cleveland is a middle-sized town. It's got lots of issues. It's also got a lot of assets. People don't realize how how magnificent Lake Erie is, and that, and the whole lifestyle with the parks and bicycling, and you know, the teams are terrific. People try, municipally speaking, but it's a very poor town, a very violent city with a lot of challenges for the new mayor. Hopefully, they can get it together, because Cleveland is a wonderful place. Wonderful place to live. A lot of people we know love it there. We love it there. And, you know, Marion's not so far away, Scott.
No, about 2 hours away. You know, Geraldo, after being so well-known, which you still are, appearing on Fox, doing the radio show on WTAM, is it hard to go to the grocery store in Cleveland without being recognized?
Oh, that's one of the great advantages of masks, although even covering the mustache, I get busted. I've been in public life now for 51 years. I'm in my 51st year, soon to be, November will be 52nd. But it's, and I've met so many hundreds and thousands of people, and I have a little mantra that when you meet someone, even if it's a meeting in passing, even if it's getting a selfie or an autograph, something like that, it's the only time probably I'll ever see that person. So their impression of me will be entirely crafted by how we interact. If I give someone the cold shoulder or am disrespectful, then that person will think that I'm a jerk forever. So I try my best to make sure that our brief encounters are pleasant for everybody. And, you know, the thing is, even though I'm on a controversial news network, and even though many, many, many people disagree with me, everybody at some point, people have been very respectful. I think a lot of that has to do with longevity and some of the landmark stuff that you mentioned earlier, Scott.
Why do you think Fox is considered controversial?
Well, you know, the big thing about Fox is it represented the minority viewpoint, and what was a minority viewpoint when Roger Ailes invented it. Roger Ailes from Warren, Ohio, not far from Marion. And he said that the unserved minority is the conservatives in America. So he set out to provide a network that was very sensitive to to what conservative people believed and what they wanted to hear. The things that they thought worth fighting for, and so it developed that way. I mean, over time, I think that as the other networks have also hardened their ideological stances, now we're stereotyped. We're the conservative network. MSNBC is the ultra liberal. CNN, I don't know what they're saying about CNN these days. But everybody's got a camp now. In some sad ways, it reflects the division in American society.
When we look at Fox News, and the big thing for years has been, you know, is it fair and balanced? They use that as their motto for many, many years. In your opinion, is it fair and balanced?
Well, it is, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, no one ever tells me what to say. My opinions are very often at odds with the majority voice on my own network. I'm the outlier, the rebel within, the contrarian voice. So as far as I'm concerned, it's fair and balanced. Is it, as you weigh Fox News overall, is it fair and balanced? It's fair and balanced from a conservative point of view, just as the others, I'm sure, believe that they're fair and balanced, but from a liberal point of view, or progressive point of view, or woke point of view. I don't have to defend Fox. I think Fox, the enormous success of the network, is really proof that there was an unserved community. Like, I'm sure that all around Marion, Ohio, the majority of your friends and neighbors watch Fox over the other two news networks. That's my guess, knowing how Central Ohio and Southern Ohio voted in the last election.
If you were giving somebody advice, you who spent more than a half century in the news, if you were saying this is where you need to go 90% of the time to get the correct news, because that's very difficult in the internet age, where would you send them?
Well, I think first of all, you can't take all your news and information from a single source. I mean, that's the road to ruin. because you are going to get the same song sung over and over again. You gotta look around. You gotta hear from other voices. You have to be open-minded. You know, you're a smart guy, Scott, and I'm sure that your audience is pretty hip. I mean, they know when someone is speaking the truth, at least the truth as they believe it. And you gotta fight for it, though. You gotta look around, read at least two newspapers. I do, including the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Plain Dealer in my case. I don't know what the newspaper of record is in Marion, but I read that one. Even USA Today has op-eds that are, flamboyant or also outliers. But just do your best. Do your homework. News is great. News is very vivacious. It defines our world. You gotta look for it and find a voice that you like, and then see if that voice holds up when you do your own independent research.
You know, Geraldo, the big story regarding you in the last couple of weeks, of course, was your appearance on Hannity, in which you talked about the January 6th messages. That night going on the show, can you kind of take me through what happened? What did you plan to talk about? Did they know you were going to talk about that? And what has been the fallout?
It was a Tuesday. I was doing the 5. I had a busy day the next day. I was doing two episodes of the 5, one that's going to air on New Year's Eve. So I was very busy, but I got a call from Sean, who's one of my dearest friends and probably my best friend in broadcasting. And he said, come on against Dan Bongino, who's my frequent sparring partner. We really see the world through different color lenses very often. And neither of us is afraid to say what we believe. And they were talking about January 6th, the commission, into what happened, the riot, the invasion of the Capitol by supporters of President Trump. I was of the opinion, Sean was minimizing what happened. He thinks that, he and Tucker Carlson also believe that the people that invaded the Capitol will look more like tourists than terrorists. I don't think that they were terrorists, but I do think that what President Trump did in inciting, unleashing, instigating that riot was something that he was justly impeached for. Even though I love the guy, longtime friend of mine, I think that what he tried to do was to short-circuit the constitutional process and undermine the election. It was outrageous and indefensible, and I thought that what happened that day was that there was a release of the text messages that several of my colleagues, including Sean, Brian Kilmeade, Laura Ingraham, and also Don Jr., the president's son, all text messages to Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff, during the rioting, saying the president has to do something to stop this. And so what I asked Sean and Bongino was to remember their state of mind on January 6th, how they felt when the Capitol of the United States, the center of elected democracy in the world, was being invaded. And Sean cut me off, and we argued about it. And Bongino said I was stabbing my friend in the back and crap like that. And I
Rachel Maddow, I called President Obama to call up the insurrection.
Erica always gives me the liberal point of view here in the background. She's my in-house opposition party. See, so I am to Fox what Erica is to me. In other words, I'm the progressive on Fox, and Erica is way, way more progressive than I am in real life. So, it's interesting to get it from Sean Hannity on one side and Erica Rivera on the other.
Since the dust up with Hannity, we'll call it, is everything okay? Was it okay afterward?
Well, I don't know, not yet, but it will be. I mean, we've had these before. It's not the first time.
When you look
at... I reached out to him immediately and said we should all go on a vacation to South Carolina.
Geraldo, I want to talk a little bit about the radio show you do up in Cleveland. I've had a chance to listen to it. and I think it's a great radio show. What's it like to be on radio at this point in your career?
Well, you know, I've done radio several spots during my career, Scott. This is probably the most ambitious endeavor. Actually, it's not, because I tried a nationally syndicated radio show initially. My voice, you know, the voice of a moderate is not what radio is looking for. Radio needs much more vivid commentary than what I provide. Ours is more of a hometown show. We do a lot of, you know, what happened. There were three people murdered this weekend. Are we paying attention to the violence? Isn't this the ghetto civil war we've always feared? Isn't this the biggest cause of death among young African-American men is murder now? I talk about that. I talk about, school stuff. We talk about just life. Life, Shaker Heights is a suburb, but it's adjacent to and enveloped by Cleveland. So we're very much part of the city. We try to be, engaged as civic citizens, do our best, to be the good people that help Cleveland, that help steer it, in the positive direction. So that's great. And a lot of people say, we heard you this morning or so on and so forth. And it's a nice combination with the Fox broadcast that we do. We broadcast right out of my home in Shaker Heights most often, especially now with COVID. I've been commuting also to do the Five. And I do Fox and Friends every Friday, as you probably know. But I usually do that from my home. What's surprising to me, Scott, is that I'm so busy at 78 years old. I'm an old man. I'm one of the oldest. I am the oldest person in the building. The only person at Fox that's older than me, I think Britt Hume is 1 month older than I am. President Biden's only 8 months older than I am. So I've been around a long time, and I never expected to be this busy. Or you might even say this much a part of the conversation this late in my career, but it's fun. It's better than the alternative, sitting home and playing bocce. So.
Geraldo, everybody knows you. Your name is unique. Everybody knows your name. There's only one Geraldo, as I say. That being said, what's the biggest misconception people have about you at this point, after being with you for a half century?
Oh, gosh, I don't think, Scott, that I could begin to deal with that. People have images. Now, remember I spoke earlier of meeting someone casually and that 15 seconds would be the whole of the relationship. And the attitude toward me would be determined in that 15 seconds. I've been around so long that people came in, they tuned in at different times. Some people tuned in the early days, the crusading journalism about the developmentally disabled that you mentioned, Willowbrook and so forth, or the gang, street gang stuff. And during the 70s, a lot of the crack epidemic in the go-go era, the just say no era. The Reagan years, and then moving on to all of the Bush years, the wars in the Gulf, the wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq. People drop in at different times. They have different impressions based on what they see. The talk show, the flamboyant talk show, on the air for 12 years, I'm okay with it. People have whatever impression they have. Sometimes it's difficult for people to change their minds about someone or something, but I'm cool with it. I'm on a first name basis with America. There are very few people that can say that.
Absolutely. Geraldo, when you look at 78 years of age, when you look at a half century being in front of people, longevity's no mistake. What's your secret?
Well, I think that there are no flukes in long-term success. The hardest thing to do is be enduring with the world changing so much so fast. Remember, there weren't even cell phones when I started. There wasn't an internet. There were no selfies. you know, the world has changed so dramatically. The good thing about, you know, having five kids and having a young, beautiful wife like I do is they keep me current to the extent that a cranky old man could be current. They affect my attitude and opinions about things. I still think that I'm flexible, but I also believe that, I have attitudes about issues that are very, very controversial that people that are out of sync with the majority of my listeners or viewers, but that's their problem. That's not my problem, because I have no qualms whatsoever about telling the hard truth as I see it. And I think that that's one of the reasons I am endearing to people. They know that when I come on, they're going to get my 100% belief on that issue. It may be 100% opposite of what they believe, but they know that I'm going to give it to them straight as I see it. And I'm proud that I have come to this position in my life where I can be so sometimes brutally honest.
Is it still a kick when the light goes on, when you get behind a microphone? Is it still, do you get that jolt?
Yeah, I love it. I love performance. It doesn't matter really whether it's in my basement studio or if it's in the hills of Afghanistan. It's when it's my time to communicate, I really get a charge. I get a thrill about it. Like, for instance, I love to drink, but I never have a drink before I go on TV. I realized very early on that I've got to be, my mind has to be clear, that it's combat. It's got to be crisp. It's got to be right. It's got to, it's got to make sense. And it's got to honestly reflect my feelings about what I'm seeing or what I'm saying.
You know, your relationship with President Trump and your support of President Trump at times has been controversial. Why do you think that is? Why do people have such a problem with Geraldo Rivera supporting and defending President Trump at points?
Well, most of the opinion journalists in media, in print and in media, are liberal. They hate Donald Trump. I mean, hate him in a way that is raw and ugly. And they see him, everything he does, as negative. I really do believe that that the Vice President Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and company slowed the acceptance of the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, because they didn't want Trump to get too much credit and were skeptical that any vaccine that he supported could not have been good for the American people. A lot of the doubters that you have now, the deniers that you have now, is because, politics has infected that process that should have been a universally accepted concept that everybody should be vaccinated to take care of themselves, their families, their neighbors, and the rest of us. But they refused to give Trump credit. They were suspicious of him. They were cynical of him. They hate him. That's their problem. I see him as a much more rounded person. I was deeply disappointed, as the world knows, by how he behaved after Election Day. We have not spoken since the week after elections. We customarily spoke every week. He'd call me at the house. I've known him for 40 plus years. He was at my engagement party in 1976 in New York. So we met. My father-in-law-to-be and his dad were best friends and rivals in real estate business. So he and I have come up together in many ways. We were on, as you know, Celebrity Apprentice together. He took good care of me on Celebrity Apprentice. And, we've had a lot of great times together. But what he did following the election, trying to undermine the results, and then fomenting that riot, is something that was deeply disappointing to me, and I wasn't going to let him get away with it.
Do you think that bridge will be mended at some point between you and he?
I think I don't know. But I think that as with Hannity, there is a deep affection under all everything. I have a deep affection for the president, Trump, and I have a deep affection for Sean. And I think that that will be ultimately what the decider of what our future relationship is going to be. The fact that there's real love there, and we have a lot of water under the bridge together. We've had a lot of withstood a lot of controversies together. We're still here together. I want Donald Trump to apologize for January 6th and to explain that elections aren't suspicious, that we have a long history. Maybe you get a couple of hundred bad ballots here or there, but generally speaking, our elections are the safest, most honest in the world. I want the president, the former president, to acknowledge that. And then I could, he could win me back even politically in terms of, in personal terms. I consider myself his friend still. I hope that we can one day hang out again together.
If he does not acknowledge that and he does not do the things you just said you would like him to do in regard to January the 6th and the last election, could you see yourself, if he ran again for anything, putting a Trump sign in the yard and casting a ballot? Or does he have to do that for you to be on good terms again?
No, I will not ever vote for Donald Trump again unless he recognizes the seriousness of what happened leading up to January 6th and on January 6th. That was way, way over the top. And now they're trying to, belittle it and say it was nothing. It was not nothing. It was something very toxic, something very malignant, something very dangerous. And I will never vote for Donald Trump again unless and until he makes amends for what he did.
Geraldo, earlier this year, a rumor was going around Ohio that you might run for Senate. That has since blown by. But would you ever do that? I mean, it's an interesting state, Ohio.
Yeah, we are big fans of Rob Portman and Sherrod Brown. Also, we like both the Republican and the Democrat. Rob Portman has decided not to run again. We love Ohio. Erica's a native Buckeye, as we said. It's a big, important state. I would have been honored to represent Ohio in the United States Senate, but it's such a, the process is so, I don't know, it's so wearing. It's so expensive. It's so, disheartening in many ways. Politics can be so dirty. We decided that it's probably not the best thing for me. Maybe if it was 10 years ago, maybe if I was in my 60s, I didn't mind spending a lot of money on it, but I didn't want to do it just to my own ego. I wanted to do it if it had a shot at affecting the race.
Geraldo, being an Ohio resident now, and of course us being on in Ohio, you being on in Ohio and myself, next year we have a gubernatorial race, and it's a very interesting one because we have Mike DeWine, who is around your age, running for a second term as the Republican. A sitting governor in Ohio has not been challenged in a primary in 130 years. Basically, because of how he's handled the pandemic, he faces two challengers, Renacci and Blystone. And on the Democratic side, you have Nan Whaley, the front runner, who is a mayor from Dayton. Geraldo Rivera could walk into that election and maybe be the next governor of Ohio.
We like Nan. We like the mayor of Dayton. Erica's a big fan of hers and has attended some events for Nan in and around Cleveland. I like Mike DeWine. I don't like the whole fetal heartbeat, the abortion stance, but I think he's a good man. And I don't think that issues, even as profoundly important as abortion, shouldn't be one issue candidates, or shouldn't pick a candidate based on one issue. So I wouldn't mind at all if Governor DeWine won. Renacci, I don't think, is a serious challenger. I met him in the 2016 race when the president came to the Hopkins Airport and made a big speech in that that hangar. I met him. I have nothing against him. It's just that why pick him over DeWine? Why replace DeWine, who's an effective governor, who I think did a good job, considering that nobody knew what the hell was going on with that vaccine. With the spread of the epidemic, he did the best he could. And Ohio frequently led the league in terms of good results. Now we're being crushed in Cuyahoga County. We're among the worst in the country with this new Omicron variant. So I don't know anybody who came out of that pandemic looking good. It was a horrible, horrible thing. I think even the president could have become a booster of those vaccines far earlier rather than just complaining, whining really about how they came out a month too late and he should get the credit and not the other guy.
You know, it's very interesting, Geraldo. We looked on 2021 as the year that the pandemic was going to get better, and 2 days ago we had more diagnosed cases of COVID in Ohio than in the entire history of the pandemic. Is 2022 going to be any better?
God, I hope so, Scott. I hope so. I we're all vaccinated and boosted. We're in Florida now. A lot of people are not wearing masks. We are... I understand what a pain in the butt it is, but I think that the silver lining, if one exists in this new Omicron break, is that if enough people get this mild form of COVID, it'll reduce the population that's available for getting a version of the virus that really makes them sick and kills them. I don't know. I know that if you're not vaccinated, you should be vaccinated, and I say this. If you're vaccinated and you're one of these commentators who says, if you don't want to get vaccinated, it's your right not to get vaccinated, stand up for your independence. If you're one of those people who's vaccinated themselves and are urging other people to fight for their freedom to not be vaccinated, then they are dopes. They're absolutely dopes. The freedom they want is the freedom to be stupid. And I feel very strongly that everybody should be vaccinated. It's not just about the person being vaccinated. It's about their children, the rest of their families, their neighbors. It's about everybody having responsibilities for everybody else. So shame on you if you're one of those people. It's like I compare the vaccinated advocate of freedom to the crowds outside, a suicide standing on a ledge urging the person to jump, 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 jump. That's what a vaccinated person urging an unvaccinated people to fight for their freedom. They're urging them to jump from the balcony.
We have about 9 minutes left here with Geraldo Rivera on WWGH Radio. Christmas Eve, yes, it finally happened. Geraldo came on, and we can't thank him enough for spending time on his Christmas Eve vacation with us this morning. Geraldo, when it comes to the pandemic and the vaccine, a lot of people compare it to your choice. If I want to have a surgery, if I want to take chemotherapy, it's my choice to do it. But ultimately, is what this pandemic is what it's going to come down to vaccine-wise, the idea that if I don't get the vaccine, then it can affect you, that it's more like drunk driving. Your action to drive drunk could kill me.
Yeah, it's like texting while driving. It's ridiculous. It's your criminal negligence if you have the accident. But imagine if you're the person who's the innocent victim. It's so selfish. That's my main thing. It's so selfish. It's so anti-science. It's so closed-minded. It's so arrogant in its own way. Like Aaron Rodgers, what he did pretending he was vaccinated when he wasn't really vaccinated. I mean, that's so low. That's such a low blow. That's lame. I have no patience for people like that. If you come up to me and you say I'm not vaccinated because of my religion, I say, well, go practice your religion in your house. I don't want you out here with me. And especially we had a ski trip planned for next week. We're going to Deer Valley in Utah, and my my son, Gabriel, my oldest of my five, was bringing his two sons. One has been vaccinated. The other one's too young to be vaccinated. And then the Omicron thing hit. And so Deb, my daughter-in-law, said, you know, it's too hinky. It's too dangerous to bring the children, especially the unvaccinated, to these ski resorts where a lot of people are defending their freedom not to be vaccinated. This is another huge epidemic, and we don't have a handle on it, and everybody's got to do their bit. And so many lives are inconvenienced, and it's too frightening. Too frightening.
We lost one thing.
My 60-year-old nephew, Bobby Reed, my brother Willie's son, 60 years old, the executive producer of Inside Edition, the syndicated news show, died in January, 3 weeks after the first vaccine was administered, to a nurse. And so he was too early. The vaccines weren't available till March, and he died in January. But I take it very personally. It was pathetic and horrible that this great guy, 60-year-old man, wonderful dad, two children who had just graduated University of Michigan with honors, then all of a sudden their dad, 60 years old, is gone because of this creepy virus. I just think that situations like that have to be prevented. Everybody has to work together to prevent them.
Couple quick current events of the last month here, Geraldo. Chris Wallace's departure from Fox News, a lot of people made a lot of mirth of this as he headed over to the online side of CNN and speculated that the reason that this happened was of things going on around Fox News that he didn't care for. What'd you make of that?
Well, I never heard Chris say that. I think that when you have people reporting what somebody else was thinking, very dangerous. I don't know why Chris chose to leave. You know, sometimes people just leave with better deals elsewhere. And with Fox being the lone wolf, it's easy for the observers to just watch this and say, Fox is screwing up. Fox lost its great anchor because Fox is too parochial or one side. I mean, I don't see that. I don't get paid to criticize Fox. Nobody, I go back to this this truth, this absolute lodestone truth. Nobody at Fox News ever once said I couldn't say my opinion on this or that. So I have 100% freedom. Yeah, I got to be responsible, of course. I have 100% freedom to say whatever I want, and no one's ever tried to censor me. And, I wonder if some of the other networks can make that same claim.
Chris Cuomo fired at CNN for advising his brother, as they put it, after an investigation, and also some allegations that he did some inappropriate things with women. Did you think firing Chris Cuomo basically and directly for his involvement with his brother was right?
I don't know. I have great regard for the Cuomo family. Mario Cuomo, the three-term governor of New York, the father of Andrew and Chris, was a good friend of mine. He was my most popular guest on my CNBC show, Rebel Live. Chris was my protege in many areas in broadcasting. I tried to leave him my talk show when I was transitioning back into the news business. He decided to go into the news business himself. In terms of his advice to his brother, it seemed to me that he let us know from the get-go that he was advising his brother. And what I wonder about is, CNN management knew that he was advising his brother? He said it on the air, he was advising his brother. He said it to everybody, my brother. And what would you do if it was your brother? I don't know. The stuff with the women, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. Those victims, purported victims, have to be heard. If that's what it was about, then that's different. But if it was about him advising his brother, I think Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, knew everything about Chris and Andrew. And I think that the hammer falling only on Chris is pretty unfair.
Geraldo, earlier in this interview, before we wrap up here, you had talked about being outspoken now and you just go for it when you're on the air. Would you have done that 30, 35 years ago?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm only laughing because the consensus is I've had more fist fights on the air than anybody who's not in the fight business. You know, that I stand up for myself in every way that you can imagine, you know, like with words and with more if necessary. I mean, now an old man, but I'm talking 30 years ago. You know, 30 years ago, I believe that I cut my way through the wilderness there by always being as frank as I think I should be, trying to, you know, I try to be polite. I try to respect other people's points of view, but nobody ever put words in my mouth, and that never will happen.
People who are reading about Geraldo Rivera or watching one of your tapes 100 years from now, what's the story on Geraldo? How would you like it to read?
Well, you know, I came from a family of very modest means, Jew Ricans. My mom, a New Jersey Jewish American woman. My dad, an immigrant arrival from Puerto Rico. Two very, very different people. My dad, one of 17 children. From the sugar cane plantations of Puerto Rico, and they forged a life in America for their five children. My dad raised me to fight the good fight. I've tried to use television to bring about social change where it's appropriate. I tried also to entertain people from time to time when that was what the mission was. I tried to take the camera as far into the action as I physically could. You know, I am delighted that I've had this enduring relationship with the American television public that I've lasted now into my sixth decade. I think that endurance is, there are no accidents in longtime success. There's a reason that people call me by my first name and feel that it's appropriate to approach me and say hi, certainly before the COVID thing. You know, so I'm, you know, Scott, now I have a relationship like that with you.
Well, and
you
I want to...
stalking me.
Well, I want to say this before we wrap up here on Christmas Eve. First of all, thank you for giving me this time on Christmas Eve. And thank your wife, Erica, who has been nothing but kind to me profusely for making this happen. But this 100-day journey was not a joke. It was never a joke. It's out of admiration. It really is. And to have you here on Christmas Eve as a guest has been absolutely fun for me. I have watched you for years. I have enjoyed it. I do admire what you've done. And you're 2 hours up the road, so I really hope one day I would get a kick if we could get together and do this in person.
Sure. That's a promise. We'll get it done.
Legendary Geraldo Rivera, WTAM, out of Cleveland, and of course, Fox News. You know the channel. Catch him. Merry Christmas to you and your family, Geraldo. Stay well.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Scott. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. The legendary Geraldo Rivera. Well, there you go. Now we get out the Geraldo Journal and we write the words maybe we thought we would never write on this Christmas Eve 2021 on day 100. And honestly, it was never planned this way. The end. The Geraldo Journal is now past tense. Thank Geraldo for coming on today. What fun that was. We're going to draw for our fruitcake and our tickets to the zoo, which you can pick up on Tuesday here. Let's go into the box. Who's the winner today? The winner today is Ryan. Congratulations, Ryan. You're the big winner. Everybody out there, I want you to have the most Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Stay safe. Drink your eggnog. Enjoy yourself. And I will talk with you on Tuesday. Be as merry as possible. Without you, the audience, this show would not happen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Scott Spears, for this Christmas Eve, heading for the dugout.
Also Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Also, at 12:15 on Sunday mornings, we